Thanks, Angus. Going to acknowledge some of my co-authors here, and I'll let you read the list. But I'm going to show some data, and a lot of it's going to be Tennessee data, but I've worked in some data from some other states. We've all been working pretty diligently the last couple of years on thrips control issues. Actually, for a number of years, we've been evaluating thrips control, but we've seen some issues in the last several years with thrips control, specifically related to insecticide seed treatments. And we've been chasing this rabbit for a couple of years, and you're going to see the results of several states in this presentation. Not going to spend a lot of time reviewing a lot of history and background that you all are very aware of, but really we're down to having two major seed treatment options or options for controlling thrips in much of the Cotton Belt. Mid-South and Southeast in particular, we're using insecticide seed treatments almost exclusively, and those two seed treatments are very similar, imidacloprid and thimifoxam. Currently, we're really using them at the same rate, 0.375 milligrams AI per seed. Timic is going to be out of the market, so that's really not an option for us. Now, other options we have, of course, are foliar-applied insecticides, and we do make a lot of foliar applications for thrips control in cotton, but we don't recommend that as a standalone treatment if we can help it. It's just difficult to get the same level of control as you'd see with an at-planting treatment. Now, I do have a footnote up there. I'm sure most people are aware that with the bare varieties such as Fibermax and Stoneville, those varieties actually come from the factory with a base treatment of imidacloprid at 0.135 milligrams AI per seed. So any treatments after that are actually going to be in addition to that. So you get about an extra 36% rate of imidacloprid, for example, if you put a Gaucho seed treatment or an Aris seed treatment or something like that on top of those bare varieties. A little bit of history. The neonics came out, Gaucho in particular, in 1996, Cruiser shortly thereafter. And in the Mid-South and much of the Southeast, really the last several years, we're almost exclusively insecticide seed treatments. And the whole point of these second, those little bullets on the bottom of the slide, are just to make the point that we're using these insecticide seed treatments, either thimifoxam or imidacloprid, on a lot of different things. Almost all the cotton acres, all of the corn acres receive either Cruiser or clothianidin, which is closely related. And in the Mid-South, we've adopted a lot of insecticide seed treatments, these same insecticide seed treatments on soybean as well, which is different from other parts of the cotton belt. They're also widely used in rice, wheat, sorghum, vegetable crops, and ornamentals. So there's a lot of use of these products. Now, Timic, over the years, has always provided superior thrips control. But in the Mid-South in particular, really what our data shows is even though we get superior thrips control with Timic, we don't really see an obvious yield advantage. And I'll show you some data on that in a minute. However, in the past couple of years, 2 to 3 years in particular, we have seen some performance issues with the insecticide seed treatments, and particularly with Cruiser. Syngenta actually responded to this a couple of years ago by increasing some quality control measures for the commercial seed treatment providers to make sure everything was being treated well and evenly. They also increased their rate to 0.375. Prior to that, it had been 0.34. Now, one thing we have noticed in the Mid-South is our performance issues coincided with the increased use of pre-emergence herbicides for the control of glyphosate resistant weeds, specifically Palmer pigweed in Tennessee, and also the use of post-emergence herbicides such as Liberty and Dual. And we're using a lot of Liberty, formerly Ignite, on the top of Phytogen cotton, which is not fully tolerant to that cotton, so we were seeing some injury from that. Now, just to re-emphasize some of those points I just made, this is the results of 22 trials that were conducted from 1998 to 2007 in Tennessee and Arkansas. And what you're looking at is across these trials, the average yield increase we saw of the treatments above an untreated check. And pooled together, you have imidacloprid or thimifoxam. That might be Cruiser, it might be Cruiser Evicta or Aris. And then you're comparing it to Timic. And the whole point of this slide is, yeah, our Timic, we know, does a better job of controlling thrips, but in terms of yield, unless you have an issue like nematodes in the field, we were getting equal yield protection from our insecticide seed treatments. The other point is prior to 2007 anyhow, it was very unusual to find a significant difference a consistent difference for sure between thymifoxam and imidacloprid. And in fact, across these 22 trials, I think the difference between a imidacloprid treatment and a thymifoxam treatment was about a pound and a half. So there was very little difference. Almost no cases, in fact, I don't think there were any cases where there was a statistically significant difference between those two treatments. But again, we started seeing some issues occur. And it wasn't always clear whether these issues were really a performance problem with the insecticide or a lack of good treatment. And in reality, I think it was both. This is just an example of a grower field. The field to the right that you can't see was planted to a Stoneville variety, looked really good. Guy moved to this field, planted the end rows with a Stoneville variety, ran out of seed, switched to Phytogen 375. Then I get the phone call and said, something's wrong with my Phytogen 375. It was taking the blame for a lack of thrips performance or lack of thrips control. And really what we were looking at was the difference between what was supposed to be Aris or an imidacloprid-based insecticide seed treatment and thymifoxam. The reality is when I first started seeing these, I assumed we had some treatment issues and it really wasn't an insecticide performance problem. And the reality was that was the case in many cases. We did have some information that we had some seed getting planted that was not treated properly or at the right rate. And again, we had some issues with making pre-emerge herbicides, making over-the-top applications of Liberty on Phytogen 375 or Phytogen cotton that wasn't fully tolerant to Liberty. That's just an example of this. This is a picture of a test in Jackson this year where we had Cruiser, and then we had Cruiser with Liberty on the top of it. And you get a little bit of a stress on stress. My colleague Larry Steckel calls it stress on stress. You get thrips injury and then you get ignite injury, and there could be some potential interaction there. The weed scientists aren't as technical as we are. The entomologists call this the double whammy. But it certainly can have an effect when you're already stunting the cotton with poor thrips control and then you start hurting it. We're concerned about it. Now, besides these kind of just observational things, in my trials and in some of my colleagues' trials over the last couple of years, we started to see some blips, some unusual things. This is one of our results from our Mid-South Regional Insecticide Seed Treatment Test that we all performed. This is the one in Tennessee in 2012. Didn't have a lot of thrips pressure, but the thrips numbers would indicate that we didn't get any control with our thymethoxam-based treatments. Those are the two dark bars, either a Cruiser or a Cruiser Evicta. The numbers of thrips per five plants were actually higher at 22 days after planting than our untreated seed. And it was reflected also in thrips injury ratings, just visual injury ratings. And in this trial in particular, nothing seemed to provide great injury or protection from injury. We had a lot of thrips injury regardless of the treatment. Thymethoxam was no better than the check. But one thing in this trial that I found out subsequent is the station superintendent, the crew that planted this for us, had used unusually high rates of Cotteran and dual pre-emergence. So I think a lot of the injury we were seeing was thrips injury, but we were also seeing what I thought was herbicide injury. And Angus and Gus and several of my counterparts had discussed some of this potential effect of using these pre-emerges now at high rates when we'd just been in a Roundup-based system prior to that. So we discussed a whole bunch of possibilities, what was going on with the performance of the insecticide seed treatments. And one of those was that the pre-emerge herbicides were having a negative effect on plant growth, and you're essentially getting that double whammy that we just talked about. It was possible that those herbicides were interfering with the uptake of insecticides. And so now a lot of us are chasing this rabbit. We have students working on it. There's several presentations this afternoon by my students, one by Angus's student listed up here, Gus's student, all in the student paper competition. I'd encourage you to attend that. One of our other theories was looking at kind of my idea at one time and part of my graduate student project was to look at whether soil microbes had maybe evolved to metabolize the neonicotinoid insecticides. Possibility, there's some precedent for it with, for example, atrazine, Timic. That was a possibility, so actually I'm going to talk about that this afternoon. And another possibility, of course, was that thrips have developed resistance to the neonic insecticides. None of us thought that was a very likely possibility, considering what we thought we knew about thrips and their broad host range and the limited exposure. But whatever it was, the conclusion seemed to be that it was affecting thymethoxam or Cruiser-based treatments more than imidacloprid. So I want to real quickly show some data to talk about all these points. Some of the data I'm going to show now is part of my graduate student, Corey Vineyard's data collected this past year at the Milan Experiment Station. And in this test, what we're looking at is a factorial experiment where we're looking at the interaction or potential interaction of pre-emergence herbicides versus the at-planting insecticide seed treatments. So we had in this test an untreated Acruza, Gaucho, and a Timic as kind of a positive control. And we were had that in with every possible combination of pre-emerge in the list here. Untreated, Cotteran at a little bit higher than usual rate, Cotteran plus dual, something we normally wouldn't do, but we had some experience with, and then Cotteran plus reflex. Again, it's slightly higher rates, not quite the way we'd normally recommend them, but kind of a proof of concept thing. And then we collected data, of course, on thrips counts, thrips injury, vigor ratings, things like that. And we clearly saw some injury from some of these pre-emerge herbicides. You're going to see a lot of graphs like this looking at the main effects, and on the left is the main effects of the insecticide seed treatment or Timic, and on the right is the pre-emerge treatment. And just looking at the graph on the right, you can see, yeah, reflex caused some injury on that cotton. We got rain right after we planted it. It splashed up. There was obviously some injury on those plants. Very similar to what you see in this greenhouse experiment. That's Gaucho with no pre-emerge on the left, and that's Gaucho with reflex injury on the right. We've seen this. We'd seen this for a number of years. No real surprise to us. Now, right out of the gate with this experiment, we started seeing some performance issues with Cruiser. This is only 14 days after emergence, and we see the Cruiser's providing statistically significant improvement in thrips injury or reduction in thrips injury compared to the untreated, but it's not nearly as good as Gaucho, and that Gaucho's not nearly as good as Timic. We're also seeing some thrips injury, increased thrips injury, where we use the pre-emerge herbicides. That may be just us confounding herbicide injury with thrips injury, but we're rating it that way. And you looked across the test, and it was very easy to pick out the herbicide effects and the insecticide effects. There was a lot of visual things in this test. This is just another example where you've got Gaucho pretty much versus Cruiser on the right, and there's some vigor issues, there's some plant health issues. So this was a very visual test. This tells the same story. Now we're 18 days after emergence. We still see that Cruiser's not providing very good control or very much reduction in thrips injury. We're still seeing some elevated thrips injury where we're using the pre-emerge herbicides. What was interesting to me, though, is on this same date, we actually were, besides seeing besides Cruiser not providing particularly good protection of the plant and having elevated thrips injury compared to the other treatments, there was more thrips in it. But what was really interesting is where we used the pre-emerge herbicides, we were seeing elevated thrips numbers as well. And this is immature numbers per 8 plants. So I didn't necessarily expect to see that, but it kind of indicated right there that maybe there's something about these pre-emerge herbicides that are inhibiting the uptake of the insecticide itself into the plant. Now, with this data, we actually had an interaction between the insecticide and the herbicide. And so what we were seeing is with the poor treatments, like the untreated or the Cruiser, that's where we were seeing the elevated thrips numbers where we used the pre-emerge herbicides. When we had a good treatment, particularly Timic, but also with Gaucho, pretty much no real effect of using the pre-emerge herbicides. So I thought I had this good idea. I thought these neonics weren't being taken up by the plant because we were using pre-emerge herbicides and there was some kind of interaction going on. But that's not what our data showed. We actually went out, collected cotton leaves at the second leaf stage from this experiment from our Cruiser treatments, our thimethoxam treatments. And what you're looking at is the neonic concentration of thimethoxam or its metabolites. Probably some of you are aware that clothianidin is the major metabolite of thimethoxam. And what we found was, is where we used these pre-emerge herbicides, we actually were finding, if anything, higher levels of neonic insecticides in the plant. So that didn't really fit my theory or hypothesis there. Now, going out 23 days after emergence, Cruiser's not providing any real statistical protection of the plant from thrips. Gaucho's clearly better, Timic's better yet, so same thing we'd seen before. When we take vigor ratings, which is just a visual rating of vigor on a 0 to 5 scale, untreated looked the worst, Cruiser marginally better, Gaucho better yet, and then Timic was better. Some bigger issues related to the use of pre-emerge herbicides, particularly the Cotteran Reflex or the Cotteran Dual. Again, we had a little bit of an interaction, and what that data said is where we used we had a good seed treatment, Gaucho, where it was performing pretty well, particularly where we had Timic, where it was providing excellent thrips control. It really didn't matter if we used those pre-emerge herbicides, but we got a vigor issue or reduced vigor where we had a poor treatment, such as the untreated or cruiser, and we were using some of these pre-emerge herbicides. So it does appear there is a bit of an interaction, and this interaction did show up with the yield. The interaction didn't necessarily show up with yield, but we definitely saw some yield effects. In this case, we saw that Temic out-yielded Cruiser, and Gaucho was intermediate and didn't statistically separate from either one of them. But this is kind of unusual. I showed you in the beginning the results of 22 trials where actually Temic, if anything, yielded a little less than the seed treatments. Now we have one where we're seeing a separation between Temic and Cruiser. There wasn't any effect or main effects of our herbicide on yield, but the trend was similar. Now, this just wasn't a problem in this test. This was another test close by, one of our regional insecticide seed treatment trials that we all do as a group, and saw essentially a complete failure of either Cruiser or Cruiser or Victor in this test. And this was even higher than normal rates. This wasn't the 0.375 rate. This is a 0.5 rate. And we didn't even reduce thrips injury in this test. It wasn't just a problem in Tennessee. This is Dr. Lorenz's data. In Arkansas this past year, where he's looking at different formulations of Cruiser, I'm assuming, Gus, this is the old versus the new formulation. Another one of our hypotheses is maybe something had changed with the formulation, and that's why we're seeing a change in the performance of thimethoxam, but this data wouldn't support that. In this test, again, imidacloprid clearly outperformed thimethoxam. Pretty unusual to see it so distinctively and so consistently across so many trials. Dr. Katchat's student, Mr. Copeland, similar test. That's actually Darren's student, right? And Angus is helping with this project. But they also saw a reduction or a difference in imidacloprid versus thimethoxam, where thimethoxam wasn't providing the level of plant protection. This is thrips damage ratings, and you can see that imidacloprid statistically is better than thimethoxam at the second and third true leaf stage or the fourth and fifth true leaf. Here's the yield from that trial. Now, this is very unusual to see a statistical separation between imidacloprid and thimethoxam, but it mattered. This wasn't just a problem in cotton. We've been seeing this showing up in soybean trials. Of course, thrips are not as big an issue in soybean, but they are present. They can be indicative of how well the seed treatments are performing. This is a test in myelin this past year. You can see in thrips numbers on the left there that the best two treatments are the Acceleron or imidacloprid-based ones. Having Cruiser was providing some control. Looked like the Evicta added a little bit. But in terms of plant protection, the imidacloprid treatments were clearly better. And this is not something I'm making up. This was very visually evident. So I don't know how well this shows up, but you can see the thrips injury. Maybe I can highlight it up here on these soybeans. And again, this is probably nothing that's gonna affect yield. In fact, it didn't affect yield. But these white, whitening around the leaves, that's thrips injury on soybean. This is the Cruiser-based treatment right there, thimethoxam. The imidacloprid right there, very obviously different. And the reality is, and I think Gus and Angus would agree with me, is that would have been reversed 2 or 3 years ago. You would have clearly seen an advantage of thimethoxam over imidacloprid in the level of thrips injury. So that's pretty unusual. So, let's get back. We thought, well, maybe we've got an issue with microbes metabolizing the neonicotinoids, because it's got to be something that's affecting a bunch of different crops in a bunch of different locations. So we've ran some preliminary experiments, and these are the results here, looking at the concentrations of neonicotinoids in soil. This is a soil collected from our problem field in myelin. I'm going to talk about this in detail this afternoon. On the left, you're looking at soil that was treated with a dilution of imidacloprid. On the right, soil that was treated with a dilution of thimethoxam. We essentially waited 15 days, and then we set the samples off to be processed to see what the concentrations were in the soil. And what we found was, yes, there is some evidence that the soil microbes are metabolizing the neonicotinoids, into other metabolites or secondary metabolites. But really, the levels of metabolism aren't enough to explain what's going on. And in fact, some of the metabolites retain insecticidal activity anyhow. So this doesn't appear to explain what's going on with thiamethoxam. So that brings us down to our last hypothesis. What's going on with Cruiser? Well, in 2013, Syngenta screened 7 populations of tobacco thrips across the belt. That's a pretty limited effort, but we'd been working with, sometimes against, Syngenta for the last several years, discussing the problems with the performance issues. And they kind of got on board this year and recognized that there really was something going on and started really investing some time trying to figure it out. And, of course, one of the things they wanted to investigate was whether or not resistance was out there. And so I'm going to quote a Syngenta person here and do it carefully because I don't want to misquote him. But what I was told, and I wrote it down on a sheet of paper when I was told told this, was they definitely measured a decrease in the susceptibility of thiamethoxam to the 4 populations that were collected in the Mid-South. There was a population collected from Tennessee, Mississippi, I think Gus collected one from Arkansas and also one from Louisiana. All 4 of those populations had a reduced susceptibility. You'll notice I did not use the word resistance. That's a little bit of a technical issue, but it's a valid issue. In order to say something's resistant, you want to be able to prove that it's heritable and goes from generation to generation, and those data haven't really been collected yet, to my knowledge. Now, I was also told that the population from Mississippi in particular showed some increased tolerance to imidacloprid. The populations that were collected from North Carolina, Texas, and Virginia were susceptible to thiamethoxam. Now, again, this was a late and limited effort. Next year, there won't be any late and limited efforts. Everybody's on board with this. There's going to be a lot of screening, not only by the industry, but also by universities, to try to figure out how big of an issue this is, how widespread it is. Now, I didn't make a big issue of it on the last slide, but I was talking specifically about tobacco thrips, and there are a lot of thrips that get in cotton. The bad news is that in the Mid-South and the Southeast, the primary thrips that gets in cotton is the tobacco thrips. So I just published, along with about 17 different co-authors, the results of a regional study that was done in 2009-2010, looking at the composition of thrips that occurred in cotton really all the way across the belt. And in the Mid-South and Southeast across 15 locations each year, we averaged 81-82% tobacco thrips. So they are the dominant thrip species that occurs. Actually, in the Mid-South, it was closer to 90%. Now, you got out the Texas Panhandle, you're dealing primarily with western flower thrips and onion thrips, and we have no evidence to suggest those species would be have any kind of resistance or susceptibility issues. So what's the take-home message here? Well, the take-home message here is the real problem, I think, is we've got a reduced susceptibility issue with thiamethoxam. There's some things that are aggravating it. The use of herbicides, other things like seedling disease can aggravate it. But I think the reality is we all believe we have resistance to thiamethoxam at the very least. My message to consultants in the room is if I was growing cotton in the Mid-South, and I'm specifically talking about the Mid-South now, I would not expect that thiamethoxam-based treatments would provide adequate control of tobacco thrips this coming year or probably beyond. It appears to me, based on our experiences, that this is resistance and it's spreading. It kind of started and more and more people started seeing it. It acts like resistance. It smells like resistance. I think that's what it is. I would be very alert for this problem in other geographies, particularly in the Southeast, but they may not have the issue. I think one of the big things we had in the Mid-South that maybe helped generate this problem is our use of insecticide seed treatments on soybean. That put a lot more pressure on the thrips populations out there because there are a lot of soybeans in the Mid-South. We really don't know what level imidacloprid may or may not be affected. There's a little bit of indication based on the comments from Syngenta that there may be some issues with susceptibility, but it's something we need to be aware of. I will say there's been a pretty clear distinction between those two chemistries the last several years, so it doesn't appear that imidacloprid is as affected. But we are all very concerned that one, the imidacloprid may follow suit, which puts us in a real spot because we don't have a lot of alternatives at this time. And again, seedling disease or the use of pre-emerge, post-emerge herbicides are going to be an aggravating factor. So what are my concluding thoughts? And I see I'm ahead of schedule here, but if I was in the Mid-South, and my recommendations are, as I do my county meetings and start writing on our blogs, is I'm going to suggest, and I say strongly suggest, but I'm going to tell people, don't use thiamethoxam on your cotton. And I'm specifically talking about cotton, because cotton is going to be the most affected crop. Soybean, corn, not thrips, not nearly the issue. Now, Timic isn't available, so what I'm telling you is you've got to do something other than Timic and thiamethoxam, and the likely most obvious alternative choice is imidacloprid. That's going to be a little bit easier now. One of the issues we had in Tennessee is the Phytogen, the commercial seed treatment from Phytogen, if you ordered a Phytogen 375 or 499, until this year came with thiamethoxam, unless you had it locally treated. That's changing. Now they have an imidacloprid option. Now, if you're concerned about your performance of imidacloprid, and you could be, you might go in with a strategy that, well, I don't know how good my imidacloprid is going to be. I need to supplement it. You might consider supplementing it with the acephate seed treatment or a thyme foliar spray at the first true leaf, and I would consider that. But with if you had thiamethoxam or cruiser treated seed, my recommendation would be to treat it like it's untreated. So that means you got really very limited options. One is a very aggressive foliar approach starting early, and I would suggest something like, you know, a week after emergence and then a follow-up application to try to prevent thrips injury. It's very hard to manage thrips with a foliar application, and weather can be a really interfering factor. So what you could do, you could say, well, I could put an acephate seed treatment on it. I could run acephate in furrow. If you're going to put an acephate seed treatment on it, you might as well put imidacloprid on it. So I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense. Now, if we're going to be using multiple insecticide applications, foliar applications for the management of thrips, probably what I would suggest is you start with acephate and you consider switching to something like Radiant. And the reason is twofold. When you spray that acephate, you'll do a great job of controlling tobacco thrips, but you'll leave western flower thrips, and acephate is not nearly as good as Radiant on western flower thrips. The other reason I might suggest that is if you start making multiple applications of things like acephate or Bidrin, you're going to have pretty disruptive effects, and you might create something like a spider mite problem. Radiant's going to be less harsh, so I think if you followed up an acephate application with Radiant, you may not have those issues as severely. So I think, that was my last slide. It looks like we have about 2.5 minutes for questions. I'll be happy to take any. Well, there's some experimentals we're looking at. I'm not sure what I can or cannot say, to be honest, so I'm not going to say it. I will tell you that 3 or 4 years ago, we weren't very excited about them, because my opinion, they weren't any better and maybe not as good as what we had. A little bit more interest now because of the issues with thiamethoxam. But that's one of the concerns we have, is we're really nothing labeled except for acephate. We're going to be looking at acephate seed treatments, but we've looked at that for a long time. We know what it brings. It brings something, but it doesn't bring what thiamethoxam brought 5 years ago. It's not as good a residual control. Good question. I mean, it's a good question, but there's not a great answer for it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. Where?
Mimic?
Yeah, we're nowhere. The question was about Mimic. Mimic is a product that was supposed to be a mimic of Timic. Clever name. It's actually from the May Corporation, so I guess that's where they got it. They got a registration or whatever from the EPA. As far as I know, nothing has happened as far as developing the product. I've tried to contact the company several different ways and can't even get a response. I think it's dead in the water. It's certainly dead in the water for this coming year. Something's going to have to change. So it's not a viable alternative. Chip had a question, but Timix, there's no supply, really, right? I mean, it's gone, so that's not an option. Chip, you had a question?
What about Aris compared to the imidacloprid?
Well, you probably answered this question better than I could. My experience over the years is there hasn't been a big difference, but if I do see a difference, Aris tends to be a little bit better than imidacloprid. Yes, sir.
Back strip's always been the predominant species that y'all have been involved with?
In the Mid-South and Southeast, for sure. It's the dominant species. As you go out into West Texas, Western flower thrips are dominant species. None of the seed treatments are as good on Western flower thrips. But, yeah, it's been the main one. And I think we found out we don't know as much about the biology of that critter as we thought. We thought this thing was getting on everything all year long, and it was very unlikely we would be able to develop resistance to it because of the alternate host. And I suspect it's got a more limited host range than we understood. I think our time's running out, so, well, Angus is standing up, so I'll step down. Appreciate everybody's attention.